I saw a teaching recently. I thought it was fabulous teaching. That this preacher was talking about that the whole Russia-Ukraine situation is actually a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. The guy said, it's coming to pass right now. And I want to encourage you, read 30 and 39 and watch what God's doing there. It says that God is the one who rallies this great army. God does it. Right? And this guy's suggesting that Gog is Vladimir Putin. But here's the point of that whole story. There's this. It's a fabulous teaching. If I can find it again, I'll forward it to everybody. It's fabulous. Best teaching I've ever seen on it. He explains all the nations, where they all come from, and the biblical nations there, where they are now. All these, it's crazy stuff, right? But here's the thing. About halfway through that story, God says, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to come like a cloud over this people, and it's going to look hopeless. But I'm doing it because I'm about to dash you on the mountains of Israel so that everybody knows that I am God. Right? So again, we can look at Russia and Ukraine and all that stuff. I would encourage you, if that's freaking you out, you need to stop watching all the news. And pray and thank God that he's in control. Amen. That being said, we are going to start organizing some donations to Ukraine. Pastor Ryan Young from Living Rock. Ryan has got connections directly in the Ukraine, has been connected there for 20-odd years. So I talked to Ryan this week, and Ryan said, look, what we really need is money right now. So if you open our giving app, Alex graciously added a link on the app that you can give, that anything that goes to the Ukraine will go straight to Pastor Ryan's church and straight to the Ukraine. We don't take cuts off the top of that stuff. Can I get an amen? If you're giving physically here in the building, just put on your envelope, write Ukraine on the other line, and all that will go through Ryan's church to help out what's going on in the Ukraine. Amen? That should be above and beyond tithes and offerings. Everyone said amen. Amen. Praise God. So, thank you all for giving. And I want to continue to just bless you and encourage you to give no matter what goes on out there. Man, just when you pull it to the gas pump, just put it in the hole and close your eyes. Jesus. I was talking to John the other day, and he's like talking about heating oil, John that was up here. And he's like, I'm thinking about getting like a container and some oil and just getting containers from all my neighbors. Just keep pouring the oil. Yeah. Like, let me know if it works, man. I'll come over. Anyway, guys, seriously, God is bigger than what's going on in Washington and everywhere else. Can I get amen? Amen. We are looking forward to miracles of provision and everything else. Amen. Amen. So, sermon this morning called Finding the Sweet Spot, Part 3. And I'm subtitling this one More. Everybody say this with me. More Abundant Honor. More Abundant Honor. This is going to be a good one. I'm going to show you something. I've never seen this before. I discovered something this week. I said, oh my goodness. So, going to be talking about insecurity this morning is where we're going to kind of land. We touched on it last Sunday, preached about King Saul several months ago. We talked about insecurity there. We're going to talk about it again. But look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22 through 25. Let's read it all up here. If you've got your Bibles, that's great, or up on the televisions here. On the contrary, so this is one of the, you got 1 Corinthians 12, you got Romans 12, gifts of the Spirit, right? We're going to be, there is a seminar coming here early spring on a Saturday. We'll be digging deep into what the gifts actually are. We may not do that on Sundays because I just don't feel like we need to do something deeper than that. Amen. So, but look at this. This is right in the middle of teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Paul says, on the contrary, it is much true that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more, let's say it together, church, more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more, here we have it again. Let's say it together, church, come on. More abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. All right, let's tear this apart for a few minutes here. Verses 22-23. are in direct relation to the previous verse. Can you guys give me verse 21, Ruth? Can you give me 21 out there? Yeah, go faster. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Ruth. All right, so we'll get it there in a minute. Verse 21, church, is where it talks about that the head can't say to the I can't say to the hand. There it is. I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head to the feet, I don't need you. Now we get to verse 22. On the contrary, right? So Paul is telling us opposite of that. So I talked about that last week. That's kind of, it's kind of a competition thing, right? I'm more important than you. That's straight from the devil. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on as well, I think. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which, listen to this phrase, church, seem to be. Everybody say seem to be. Seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which look at this phrase. Everybody say, we deem. We deem. Who deems? We deem. The ones that we deem less honorable. Little nugget here. I'm already ahead of my notes. But honorable, the Greek word is also translated as valuable. So think about that. More abundant honor, more abundant value. Right? So look at this. You know what Paul's dealing with here? He's dealing with our humanity. He's dealing with our propensity to value certain people more than other people. And particularly when... We're going to look at the next verse. Particularly when people are doing something that we find desirable. Look what he says. On these, right, the people that we seem to be, right, that's to us, seem to be, or that we deem less honorable, less valuable, on these we bestow more abundant honor or value, right? We meaning the church, right? He's saying you need to really pay attention to this. Can I get amen, right? And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas, look at what he says here in verse 24, whereas more presentable members have no need of it. What's it? Honor or value. Now, is Paul suggesting that, he's not suggesting here that certain people or certain gifts, because we're talking about gifts here, right? That certain gifts should not be honored. What he's saying is that certain gifts we will naturally honor because it's obvious that this person's flowing in a particular kind of gift. Does that make sense? So think about it. If you have some kind of physical ailment and you find somebody that you know flows, as Paul says in this chapter, in the gift of healing, you're going to go find that person, right? We like prophets, don't we? I need another word from the Lord. Where's the prophet? Right? Most of us probably like preachers, except this one. Right? Come on, church. We like worship leaders. We like people that are talented, right? We like people that make us feel good. We're drawn to this stuff. Is that all right? Should we honor preachers, prophets, healing ministry people, people that work in miracles? Of course we should. What Paul is suggesting is that they don't need any extra than they're already going to get by default because their gifts are kind of putting them in the spotlight already. Can I get an amen? Let's just be honest. I'm not looking at nobody. If there's certain issues right here in our congregation that maybe some of you are dealing with, you're going to go find certain people and say, can you please pray for me? Is that true? Is that wrong? No, I don't think it's wrong. I think that's what we're supposed to do, right? I tell people all the time, just to live in life. If you've got financial problems and you need someone some advice, don't talk to somebody who's filed bankruptcy 7 times. Unless they say, look, just don't do the opposite of what I did, right? If you're struggling in your marriage, don't find somebody who's been married 6 times. They don't know what they're doing, obviously, right? That's not mean. That's just the truth, y'all. Right? Whatever, can I get amen? Same thing in the spirit. When we find somebody that God has anointed and gifted to operate in a certain kind of way, they've got a special call in their life, we should go to them and say, man, I need you to pray for me. I need you to give me some advice. How are you doing this? Is that all right? But what Paul's telling us here clearly, my beloved, look at this. He's saying, look, what we need to focus on is that there are going to be people that are gifted, get this, y'all, with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same spirit that we lay hands on sick folks and pow, they get better, right? This same spirit is working with the same amount of power in people who are administrators. Now what? There's no helps. There's another. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Helps. You realize that that person has just as much anointing as the person that cast a demon out of somebody. But we don't. Wow. Man, you got helps. You're so anointed, bro. We don't think that, do we, church? Now let me show you this. Look at second half of verse 24. Everybody say, but God. But God has so composed, the Greek word right there means to mix together. It's where we get synchronized from. I was going to try to pronounce it, not even close. It's such a weird looking word, but I realized we get synchronized out of it, right? So if you synchronize something, it means various parts click together and work in harmony, right? Synchronized, right? Like synchronized swimming. When they all swim and they do the same things. I've never seen that, just one time. I was like, this is crazy, I want to watch that. Can I get amen? But it's like figure skating when they do it in pairs. I can't stand figure skating either. I can't stand it. But you know what I mean? It's cool to watch them just flow so perfectly together like they're one. So Paul's saying right here, God is so composed, mixed together, synchronized the body, giving, let's read it again, what? More abundant honor to that member which lacked. Everybody say, so that. So some of you are new with me this Sunday, or just new in a couple weeks here. So that is one of my favorite phrases in the whole Bible. Because it tells us why God is doing things. Right? So why does God build the body like this? So that there be no, everybody say the word. Here's what I found out studying this week. The Greek word here, church, literally means split. How many of y'all ever been through a church split before? Wasn't that pleasant? No, I saw this Greek word and the Holy Spirit said to me, said, son, Paul tells us why splits happen in churches right here. You know why splits happen in churches? Because we emphasize gifts, especially certain gifts, over character. Because that's what we do. Can I get amen? I've done that. Man, if I had a nickel for every time I've done that when my first 4 years pastored, man, a lot of nickels. Buy like a tenth of a gallon of gas right now. just close my eyes, especially when I'm driving the Yukon. Oh, man. I said, babe, just fill it up when you hit a quarter tank. Still $50. But at least I feel better. It says full on the dash. Praise God. Think about this. Man, I jumped all ahead of my notes. God, Paul is telling us, the Lord through Paul is telling us that every single gift that God has chosen to give every single person has the exact same honor or value, and it's because of our tendencies to divide one gift over another that we get in trouble. Right? Is that all right, church? So in other words, every single gift that God has chosen needs to be recognized. And I'm not saying that we need to, you know, have a gift parade every here up every Sunday up on the altar, you know, where people, okay, gift group number two, come on up here, and we all clap our hands. Oh my goodness gracious, we don't need to make this weird and religious. Can I get amen, church? But what we need to do is recognize that there are going to be people as we study these gifts. I tell you what, the Lord so clearly told me last week. We're so focused on that if I'm gifted by God, it has to be a gift that manifests in church on a Sunday. That is not true. That's not even close to true. If you go read 1 Corinthians 12, look at the gifts in there. Look at the gifts in Romans 12. I'm just going to guess maybe half of those, that whole list, I think there's 13 in there if you looked at two chapters together. There's like 13 or 14 gifts. Only about half of those are going to operate on a Sunday morning. The other half of them are going to operate during the week. I tell you what, we should praise God that there's some people with gifts of administration in this church. Because I don't have that. If some of the people that have that gift were more vocal, they'd be saying, amen, pastor. This church would have closed if we didn't have some people with gifts of administration working. I can't stand it. I'm glad I get the numbers. I'm like, oh, those numbers look good. Praise God. Is that all right? I'm going to show you one more thing here. Then I'm going to break this down a little bit more and be a little kind of a little bit abstract for the rest of the morning. Back up one more verse for me. Back up to 24. Look at this. So God has composed the body. Everybody say God. God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that which lacked. So let me ask you this. So Paul, in the previous verse, is telling the church that we need to work on this, right? But then I think in verse 24, Paul is telling us that God, look at this, God so composed the church, giving more abundant honor to this member that lacked. I don't know what you see there, church, but you know what I see? I see that God himself is honoring the members of the congregation, the members of the body, which maybe don't get as much honor as they should. Is that all right? Let me tell you something I learned a long time ago. I still got to learn it once in a while because I'm a little slow in the uptake. If we feel really, really good when people say nice things about us, then we're going to feel really, really bad when those same people say something bad about us. Oh, pastor, the same people don't say nice things and then mean things about you. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. It gets to the point where you get a little gun shy when somebody gives you a compliment. You're like, oh, all right, ready for the attack. But then I heard one guy teach like this. He says, if you want to love people like Jesus does, he says, you will love somebody with everything you've got. They can stab you right in the eyeball while you're looking at them. And then you will get up and you will love somebody else exactly the same way like it never happened. Amen. Without the Holy Ghost, that is impossible. Okay. You got more luck breathing in outer space than getting burned by somebody you've loved with everything you got and then doing it again like it never happened. That is the call, my beloved. That is the call. Why do we have so much problem in the church in America? Because we don't love like that. Because we don't. We hang on to stuff. Is that right? So think about, here's my point of this last thing, and then we're going to get a little bit abstract to finish up. Where does my honor or your honor or value, because it's the same Greek word, right? Where does your value come from, church? Now, hopefully we're all going to answer that the right way. But then if we watch how we conduct ourselves and how easily we are blown about by people's opinions, we answer the question right, but I'm not quite sure that at least some of us are standing where we've answered. Is that all right? See, we know where we want our honor to come from. We want it from man. Because as we already heard, we heard all morning. I said, my goodness gracious, the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to hear some. We heard all morning, man, God loves you. He values you. Amen. If no one ever values you ever in your entire life, ever, God values you with the exact same value that he values all the people that you think are valued. That's the truth, man. I don't care how bad you screwed your life up. God sees you with the exact same value as when he created you. You've not lost value. One guy preached like this. He took out a $100 bill, nice crispy one. He took it out. He says, how much is this worth? Or he's like, $100. In the global economy, it's worth about $9 right now, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, still $100. And then he crumples it up and he stretches it back out. He says, how much is it worth now? $100. And then he puts it on the ground. He stomps on it. And he says, how much is it worth now? It's $100. He gets it wet. How much is it worth now? Still $100. You tear it in half, guess what? It's still worth $100. You got tape back together, still worth $100. What has been done to you does not diminish your value. Because the person that created that made it worth $100. And the God who created you with intrinsic and inherent value. What the enemy will do, my beloved, is use people to try to diminish your value. And I want to just tell you a secret if you haven't figured it out. He's going to use Christians to do it. Praise God. Isn't that so good? Yeah, if you're visiting, we're just real here, all right? We keep it real. Come on, what's the old saying? Some of you have been around. You ain't been hurt till you've been hurt by church folk. Anybody been hurt by church folk? For sure, man. Right? And God's saying we need to deal with that. We need to get over it. We need to let go. Amen? Amen. See, the honor of and from men, my beloved, is fleeting. I've had people think and say very nice things about me, only to have the very same people drag me through the mud a very short time later. And most times I'm like, I have no idea what happened. I have no idea why they're mad. No idea why they're offended. No idea. Nothing happened that I'm aware of, right? Is that all right, church? Our honor or value must come from God. Even if it doesn't manifest, we hear about manifesting today, right? Even if it never manifests in the realms of men, we need to know in our heart, in our spirit man, that God sees us the way he created us to be. Is that all right? Let's back up to verses 14 through 16, same chapter. We're going to talk about insecurity for the rest of the morning. We'll be done by like 2. For sure. Definitely. 14 through 16. So we hit this last Sunday, but I really want to go deeper because it's so important. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. So again, I said last Sunday, church, that Paul deals with two different things. We looked at a moment ago, verse 21, which is the competition thing, right? I don't need you. But here, Paul's dealing with insecurity. The foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm only a foot, I'm not that important. Right? And if the foot, where's he got here? Ear says, right? The ear says, because I'm not an eye. So there's the two things, again, I said last week. To me, a foot and an eye, a foot and an ear is pretty important to me. If I had to choose a part of my body to miss, it wouldn't be my foot or my ear. You'd take my left pinky fingernail. Probably don't need that. Probably okay. Paul is dealing with insecurity. And let me just say this, church. I think that we all, I don't think, I know this. I know that we all deal with insecurity in some kind of way. Yeah? And I don't think insecurity, I don't think it's a demon. Right? I remember the Lord told me when COVID first hit and everybody's freaking out. A lot of fear, right? A lot of fear. However you felt about COVID, there was so much fear being perpetrated through the media and the governments and all this stuff. And I remember sitting on my couch one morning and the Lord said to me, thankfully it didn't really get into my house like that, like fear and all that. But the Lord said to me one morning, he said, son, what if your wife came downstairs this morning and she said, babe, I'm really, really afraid. I'm just really freaking out right now. And I'm having anxiety and all these things. And the Lord said to me, if you just looked at her and said, what's wrong with you? Where's your faith? Come on, you've been a Christian for your whole life. Why are you getting sucked into fear now? The Lord said, what's going to happen to that fear? I said, oh, it's gonna grow, right? And he says, absolutely. And he says, how about if you loved her perfectly? Because the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Right? Then Zach can lay hands on somebody and cast fear out. We know that fear is a spirit. The Bible tells us that. But it's the only spirit I can find in the Bible that I can't just lay hands on somebody and take authority over it. You ever think about that? Isn't that crazy? Every other evil spirit, in Jesus' name, we have authority. We're just, pow, you got to go. But fear is an evil spirit that cannot be just cast out of somebody. You have to love it out of them. And the Lord said to me, insecurity is the same thing. You can't just lay hands on somebody and get rid of insecurity. Pow! You have to love them, and you have to encourage them, and you have to work with them, and you have to say, man, you're all right. Come on, man. Come on. Is that all right? I think insecurity, my beloved, is something that we get over progressively over time. I tell you what, I'm not pastoring this church right now, and I'm not the man who I am because Pastor Al loved me. You're visiting, that's our founding pastor of our church. He's not here this weekend. I'm not here because Pastor Al loved me and Pastor Al encouraged me. He encouraged me a whole lot. So I believe in you, man. God's got a call in your life. Okay, cool. Cool. But you know, I'm standing up here this morning pastoring this church because I heard what God said about me. Not what a man said about me, even though he's a great man. Church, you will never become who God's called you to be if you're looking for a man to tell you who you are. Now, we do need, clearly in Scripture, when God is calling us and anointing us and equipping us to do whatever he's called us to do in the church or outside the church, people will come and confirm that. There'll be a prophetic word, but a prophetic word today should be more of a confirmation than blindsiding you. Well, I never thought about that. Sometimes we'll still get those, right? But a prophetic word, I just got a prophetic word Thursday night. And I was on a Zoom call with Charlie. And this guy, they were praying over me and they said, oh, the Lord says this, boom, 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 all these things. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I already knew that. He didn't know that. I never told him that. I knew that because God told me. Yeah? Book of Revelation, I think it's the third church. He who, what's all seven churches? How does it end? All seven churches. To him who what, church? Overcomes. Thank you. That means you got to have some stuff you got to grind out. Yeah? We had Little City Pizza for my birthday on Thursday. I didn't have to overcome that. I partook of it fully. To the point where I needed a little bit of Tums afterwards. We need to overcome things that are not pleasant, that are hard, that are oppositionary to us, that are trying to knock us down, that are trying to defeat us. That's the stuff you got to push through. I think it's the third church. Him overcomes, I'll give him a new name. Amen. The Bible says, I heard one guy preach that the seven churches is actually a progression of maturation. It's not seven separate churches. It's first love, right? That's first church. Get back to your first love. Make sure you get that right. And then it's a progression of, I thought that's pretty solid. Maybe that's not the only way to teach it, but here's the point. The Lord over my years, my beloved, the Lord directly from heaven has given me three new names. And those three names have shaped who I am as a man, who I am as a pastor, who I am as a father, who I am as a husband. Does it make sense? Anybody else get a new name from the Lord? Raise your hand. Come on, show your hands. Anybody else? Got two hands. Got two. Anybody? Three, five, six. I would encourage you, if you've got, if the Lord's given you and he's called you a name, mine was Timothy, Joshua, and Gideon. Clear as I'm talking to you right now, church. Last one's Gideon. He said, son, you are a Gideon, and you will defeat the Midianites. You know what the Midianites do in the story of Gideon? They only show up when it's harvest time. They leave them alone. You can plant, you can plow, you can plant, you can water, you can nurture, you can chase the bunny rabbits away. You can do anything you want to do. It's right when you're about to enjoy the fruit of your labor, the Midianites show up and wreck everything. I said, my goodness, if that's not what's happened at River Valley for 25 years, I don't know what's going on. I was like, all right, I see it, Lord. Now we're going to take that one down. Yeah? Is that all right, church? I think the Holy Spirit's job, one of his many jobs in me, in you, is to take these, I'm going to call them strongholds of insecurity. Little question, some of you know this, don't answer if you know it. How many times does the word stronghold show up in the New Testament? Anybody want to guess at it? Only one time. In some translation, it doesn't show up at all. New American Standard, which is what I preach about, it's called a fortress. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, verse 5 or 5:10, whatever it is. But this is what it says. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds or fortresses, right? But then here's the crazy thing. The very next verse, he says, and we are destroying, so he says to destroy fortresses, to destroy strongholds. Then the next verse, we are destroying speculations. Where does the speculation happen, church? This is where we speculate things right here, right? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that's exalted itself against the, not against God, against our knowledge of God. So where do strongholds exist? Not out there. That's a principality and a power. Strongholds are right here. Now we can build good strongholds if we build them on the Word of God. We heard our brother last Sunday exhorting us about the Word of God, right? How do you build a good stronghold? How do you tear down bad ones? You tear them down with the Word of God. And you build good ones with the Word of God. Right? Is that all right? Here's insecurity. This is straight off the some website. So this is secular, all right? But just listen to this definition of insecurity. The American Psychological Association reports that insecurity is multifaceted. It pertains to an overall sense of uncertainty or anxiety about your worth, abilities, skills, and value as a person. This insecurity conveys the message that you are at risk or in danger of something or someone. Let's be real, church. How many of you have ever been anxious about an upcoming event? Right? Now, how many times have you got to that event and through that event and go, man, that was stupid. I wasted lots of time freaking out about that. For sure. You know what we do the next time? Next week something else happens, we do the same thing all over again, going round and round the same old mountain. And God's up there, he's like, look, man, just hang a left and go up the mountain. It's at the bottom of the mountain we make golden calves and start worshiping weird stuff. Right? You go up the mountain, you see cool stuff, man. Right? The negative impact of insecurity, this is still off this website, could be physical, mental, they say, or emotional, I'm going to say, or spiritual. Listen to this. Without security, you cannot accomplish full trust or function to your fullest potential. Here's what's crazy. Go read Ezekiel 38:39, the Gog whole thing. You know who Gog is going to go against? He's going to find villages that are unwalled. Well, if you study at all, just study history, they never built a village without walls around it because walls is what kept them safe. So the only reason you don't build a wall around your village is because you know somebody else is protecting you. Right? You know what we do, church? We build walls around our heart. Oh, that hurt. Build a wall. I ain't going to let that happen again. But God says, look, you can protect you, or I can protect you. And here's the thing, my beloved, with God protecting you, guess what? If you protect you, you're going to get hurt again. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to take things that were not even hurtful and twist them around in your mind and make them hurtful. That's what insecurity does. I can't believe how many times I've said something to somebody, they get mad, and I'm like, I have no idea what this person's mad about right now. I didn't say nothing wrong. Come on, church. You ever say something to somebody and they just explode? Yeah. It's not you, right? They've got this carefully constructed house of cards and you just walked by and bumped the table and the whole thing came crashing down. You know, not even on purpose. Can I get an amen? See, most people, my beloved, I'm talking about believers right now. Most believers have so many balls we're juggling all the time. And we're just, because God's saying, look, I want you to deal with this stuff. But we're like, oh, hang on a second. We get some kind of weird value out of it, don't we? We talk about how stressed out we are all the time. I'm so stressed out. Why? That's the opposite of rest. Now, yes, we all got, I don't got a real job. But some of y'all got real jobs where you, like, you got to punch a clock every day and you got to like actually tell somebody you're there and doing something. You know what I mean? Right? So I get that. There's stress out there. I'm not saying there's not stress. But God has called us to live in a place of rest. I need to do this, right? And there's a certain amount of stress associated with what I have to do. But then if I allow the Spirit of God to help me prioritize this thing, I'm going to put it in this box, right? I'm going to allot a certain amount of stress to this particular box. And that's all I'm going to give it. It's good teaching, y'all. Right? The most important thing in your life is your family. Ain't your job. You quit your job tomorrow, they'll find somebody else, they'll plug somebody else in there in one day. They don't care. Your job isn't who you are. Your ministry is not who you are. Yeah? Listen to this. Symptoms of insecurity. We're just going to talk about two this morning. Everybody okay? Number one. So there's two kind of things on number one. Number one, an overriding feeling of inadequacy. A lack of self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth. Low self-esteem marked by self-deprecation and perceptions of low self-worth. So let's talk about this one just for a few minutes here. Almost done. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, 3, we looked at this last week or the week before, that he says, don't think too highly of yourselves, right? You guys remember that? But then the very next thing he says, but think soberly. Think, he says, judge accurately or some kind of phrase in there, right? So you know what Paul's saying? Paul's like, look, the default that we have, church, is typically pride, right? We think, oh, look how important I am. Rawr, you know, whatever. Okay, bro, whatever, right? But we can also go the other direction and think, oh my gosh, I just can't do anything. I'm Paul's like, no, man. There's a sweet spot. You got to come down a little bit, but don't go too much, right? Get up there in the sweet spot somewhere, right? Look, church, can you do anything without Jesus? No. Not worth, not nothing worth doing, right? Nothing worth doing, right? But if you just throw your hands up and say, I can't do anything, is the Lord going to do anything if you don't engage and participate with him in faith? No. Everybody say no. He will not. He wants us to get in the yoke with him and partner. Right? So think about this. I'm just going to be real, church. This right here, this is my default. My default is this feeling of I'm not good enough. That's my default, right? For years, my whole life. And it wasn't because nobody told me I wasn't good enough. My parents never told me that. My coaches never told me that. My music teachers never told me that. Nobody ever told me that. It was something in here. I don't know where it came from. I have no idea. But when Pastor Al told me to ask me to take this church over, I was like, nah, I'm good, man. I'm good being like number two. I'm good being this guy. But it's funny, even like I was at this ministry retreat a few weeks back. You guys know, some of you know I was down there. My buddy Eric, phenomenal musician, man. This guy's unbelievable. Guitar, keyboard, vocals. The second night he hands me the guitar. He's like, hey, you should lead worship for us. 5 years ago, I'd have been like, nah, man, I'm good. You should lead worship. Because he's a far better musician than I am. Far better. But he looks at me and sees that there's a gift there that is not really because I'm a great singer or a great guitar player, but because God has chosen to give a gift. And so who am I to say I'm not good enough to walk in this gift that God has chosen to give me? Because the truth is you're not. You're not good enough. But that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Can I get amen? So I gladly grabbed this guitar that was the worst guitar I've ever played in my life. And I led worship for 20 minutes. And it's funny, this friend of Eric, he's like, Mark Taylor, you legend. calls me a legend. All right. Pretty sure you got to be dead to be a legend, but that's all right. Dead to myself. That's right. But think about this, church. And again, I really am almost done here, but I want you to get this because I really think we're all going to fall into one of these two things. All right. And the point is Paul saying, if we don't figure this out, it will hinder the ability for the Spirit of God to flow freely and use the gifts in the church that are supposed to make the church healthier and stronger. But what we've seen over the last several decades is that not only does it, we got churches are figuring it out, but so many churches experience splits and divisions and pow, big ugly messes because of giftings that are put in the wrong position. Is that true? See, this stronghold, my beloved, will prevent us from stepping out into the very thing God has called us to do. And I'm not just talking about church stuff here. Anything. Doesn't matter. God's called some of you to be successful business people. And out there, politics maybe. Praise God. We'll pray for you. But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be in church on a Sunday morning. Right? We're breaking that lie right now in Jesus' name. Some of you are just called to be moms. As I said, just. That's a terrible thing to say. Some of you are called to be moms. Right? Moms, like moms, not just as we heard, not just the ones that you've birthed out of your body, but orphans, right, that have been abandoned by their parents. Some of you are anointed to be moms of those people. Some of you are anointed to be spiritual moms, right, in this church. Spiritual dads, right? That is powerful, man. The Lord told me 3 years ago, he said, son, you need mothers and fathers in this church. Yeah? Many of us are insecure about our friendships, our marriages, our careers, our ministry callings. We struggle with insecurity raising our kids. I'm not looking at nobody. I know parents I talk to think, man, I'm going to mess my kids up. Like, I got four, and we're kind of halfway through. Kind of. I don't know. I'm just going to look over here.
You're hilarious.
I don't think it's as hard as we make it out to be. I'm just looking over here. Halfway. I'll have a teenager when I'm 60, so living at home. Get out. Church, I think here's the deal. God wants us to be successful. Not successful like the world says. Not like that. Kingdom, right? Which includes our families and our kids, right? Our marriages. Marriage is not as hard as we make it out to be. if we're doing it the way God says to do it. Raising our kids is not as hard as, kids are kids, right? They're going to do stupid stuff. Amen. My kids do stupid stuff all the time. So do I. Praise God. Right? But if we are right with God, he will anoint us, give us wisdom, teach us how to raise our kids. Can I get amen? Yeah? That should be encouraging to somebody. Right? Our insecurity, my beloved, is what gets us into abusive relationships. And I'm not just talking about sexual ones, like men and women, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about any kind of relationship that's abusive. We sit here and we take abuse from people because we don't value ourselves. Right? We get some kind of weird satisfaction off of this person mistreating me. At least they're talking to me. Man. Church, I was the pastor of this church, and the Lord revealed that to me one day, 3 years in. He said, there's certain people, you sit there and you let them talk to you any kind of way they want to talk to you because you get some kind of weird value out of it. I was like, well, I'm done with that for sure. Some people are going to be mean to you and they're going to abuse you, and sometimes we just got to take it. But when we're seeking it out because we get some kind of weird satisfaction out of it. Anybody? Is that all right? Number two, this is also insecurity. An overly high sense of self that is used to conceal true feelings. I'm going to look straight here to the next one. Perfectionism to the point of never being satisfied. I'm still looking right here. I don't look at nobody. Let me tell you something right now, church. The Bible calls us to excellence, not perfection. Right? When you see, now, some of you that are known about it want to say, well, it says be perfect, even as God's perfect. Okay, fine. The Greek word means complete right there, not like flawless like a diamond, right? Right? Perfect in the Bible, when we see the word perfect, it's talking about maturity. I'm a solid believer, right? I'm not blown all over the place, got my doctrine in line to various things. Can I get amen? Perfectionism, my beloved, is not excellence. Two completely different things. I remember David DeMarco, one of his first times back here, he said one time his son, little son, came up to him and he drew him a picture, right? Like it'd be like Elena, that's my 3-year-old, drawing me a picture. And she runs up, Daddy, look what I drew you. And I go, wow, what is it? It's a dinosaur. Wow. Looks like a big scribble on a paper. I don't know. Don't look like a dinosaur to me, right? Is that perfect? Is her drawing a dinosaur perfect? Not even close. It doesn't look like anything. Is it excellent? Yes. It's excellent. In her mind, it looks just like a dinosaur, and that's the very best she can do. Insecurity, my beloved, can manifest itself in people that are so driven. I got to get an A+ on every single test, and if I don't get an A+, rah! Freak out, right? Probably if you look the way I handle my car, there's probably some insecurity there because it's got to be nice all the time, right? Because, my beloved, we're trying to feed this feeling of inadequacy with performance. Yeah? I'm going to use the word arrogant. Arrogant people are actually insecure people. Confidence and arrogance are two very different things. Here, let me explain to you how this works. Arrogant people come off as confident, right? Some people you could just tell they're arrogant. You're like, wow, that guy's so arrogant, right? And it's just, they just wear it on their sleeve, like no. But some people, it seems confident, right? And you're like, wow, this person's pretty confident. But here's how you know the difference. A confident person has no problem being questioned. A confident person has no problem being corrected. An arrogant person, you question them at all, Get ready for a fight. Can I get amen? Almost done. The first manifestation of insecurity, again, this the low one, right, will typically prevent someone from doing anything that requires any risk at all for fear of failure and exposure of their weakness. And we're talking about operating in gifts here, church. Can I get amen? When it manifests like this, it will push people into the second type, right? This arrogant one. This type, when that insecurity rises up and manifests in that type of way, or we're covering it up with a very bold kind of behavior, right? What will push this person into is doing all kinds of reckless things, especially things that they are truly ill-equipped, unprepared, or not yet ready to do. Then, that person, when it blows up, they'll blame everybody they can find, except themselves. A confident person, when they do something and there's a mistake that's made, they'll own it. Man, I did that and it was wrong. I did that and I failed. I did that and, my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have done that at all. Right? A confident person has no problem examining their behavior and saying, man, I don't even know why I did that. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to get back to you. Arrogant people will not receive any type of correction or anything else. Is this all right, church?
Sort of.
Let's stand up. He's like, oh, this kind of hurts. Let's stand up. Got two more things here and we're done. This first manifestation, these people, when we struggle with that, typically they won't move out for the Lord no matter how much encouragement they get. The other person, when it manifests in the other type with that arrogant kind of way, this person won't slow down. No matter how much advice they get, how much correction, you can tell me what to do. I've had people tell me that. Pastor, you can tell me what to do. You're right, I can't. So let me know how it works out. Right, my kids do that. I'm going to do that. All right, man. 5 seconds later, they're screaming. I said, well, I told you not to do it that way. Right? Here's the deal, church. And then we're probably going to move on next Sunday. There really is a sweet spot right in the middle of these mindsets. Right? Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 3. He says that we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and put, anybody know what it says right there? No confidence in the flesh. And then Paul goes on to say, he says, look, if anybody could have confidence in their flesh, I can. He says right there, I'm from the right tribe. I've got all the education. I've got all the credentials. I've got all the experience. I've got it all. I've got it all. But he says, it's all garbage. It's all garbage for the sake of knowing Christ. Right? Paul's in the sweet spot, man. He's like, look, fine, okay, I got all this education. I got all this experience. Cool, right? But to find that sweet spot of just right in the middle of, like, I know who I am, it's like this. I think about, man, if I was ever in another church someday, how would I go in there and say, I pastored for 15 years. You better give me a spot. I'm like, man, I hope not, Lord. You better spank me if I do that. I'd rather just go in and be like, hey, man, what's up? I'm Mark. And then if it comes over, a conversation, a cup of coffee, like, so what? Hey, what's your story? I'll tell you my story. Use it, don't use it. I don't care. I don't care. Because I know who I am in God. And if God chooses to use me, then he chooses to use me. And he chooses not to, or chooses to use me someplace different, fine. I wasted so many years trying to force my way into stuff I thought I wanted. And then it blew up my face every single time. Got hurt other people. I'm like, Lord, I'm done with this. Done. Let's figure out who is God calling us to be. Me, you. Figure it out, man. If any of you come and say, Pastor, God told me he's going to use me like this, man, we will sit down and figure it out. We'll figure it out. Can I get amen? And maybe Maybe it takes time. I don't know. It's this. We're figuring this thing out. This is some gray area here, church. Can I get amen? Right? So let's pray. Thank you for hanging in there. We're a little bit long today. Thank you for hanging in there, everybody. I hope this was good. I hope you guys heard this. Because God wants us to be secure in Him. In Him. Not in how I look in the mirror. Not about what people think about me. Not about my church experiences. My security is in Christ. Not how my spouse treats me. Not how my kids talk to me. Not how much money I got in the bank. In Christ. Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you all morning, man. I came in this morning, one of our prayer leaders said, man, Pastor, I just feel like such a gentle spirit here this morning. Like God is doing some healing this morning. And Lord, as I think we all agree, Lord, that we all have some kind of insecurity. It's there somewhere. It manifests in some ugly way sometimes. But Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that this week we go home and we said, you know, man, Lord, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm tired of getting angry at things I shouldn't get angry about. I'm tired of being afraid, tired of feeling jealous. My beloved, jealousy is a manifestation of insecurity. I'm jealous of this person, that God's doing that. I'm insecure. Father, I pray that in Jesus' mighty name, that we have every single person in this room, everybody online this morning, God, that we have an encounter with you this week. Amen. Even as we're singing that song, let us be more aware of your presence. And I just, every time we sing that song, I feel the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, cool. Tomorrow, be more aware of my presence. Tuesday, be more aware of my presence. Not for 45 minutes here now. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. Lord, that we're not farther away from you because we're not in church. That somehow you're different because we're not together with our brothers and sisters. God, you are the same God. And Father, I know that I have changed, God, not, you know, partially because of church stuff, but I changed so much by after church was over and talking to you and listening to what you had to say about me and letting you build me to be the man you want me to be. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that everyone here, in Jesus' mighty name, God, this week we sit down and we listen. Just ask that simple question to the Father. What do you think about me? How do you see me, God? Lord, that we hear your voice thunder through our spirit like we've never heard before. That every lie is crushed. All the fears and anxieties that we hide and we bury and we try to pretend like they're not there, Lord, they're just ripped open, God, and exposed and healed by the power of your Spirit, God. That we let the tears flow as you tear down those strongholds, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If anybody would like prayer for this or anything else, please come on up. We'll certainly pray with you and agree for the Lord's best in your life. Amen. Blessings, guys. Have a good week. Facebook and YouTube. Blessings on you guys in Jesus' name.